Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, country, and one nation under God. Today is Monday, June 19th, 2023. It's Juneteenth, National Independence Day. We're going to talk a little bit about that, but before we go there, we are going to talk about I love my country, it's my government I'm afraid of, and we're going to have the American Creed, which kind of explains where we're supposed to be versus where we are. Okay, the American Creed. I believe in the United States of America as a government of the people, by the people, for the people, whose just powers are derived from the consent of the governed, a democracy and a republic, a sovereign nation of many sovereign states, a perfect union, one and inseparable, established upon the principles of freedom, equality, justice, and humanity for which American patriots sacrificed their lives and fortunes. I therefore believe it is my duty to my country to love it, to support its constitution, to obey its laws, to respect its flag, and to defend it against all enemies. William Tyler Page. That's been 100 years since that was first put in, approved, and accepted by Congress. So, with that being said, and today being Juneteenth, National Independence Day, we'll talk a little bit about that, but the main thing today, we are going to be focusing on some of Florida in review, talking about election law and some property rights. Next week, I think I'm going to call it the unrestricted war, and we're going to talk about the enemies from within and the COVID-19 and the vaccines and how we are killing ourselves. We're being murdered from our own government, basically. That's why I say I love my country. It's my government I'm afraid of. And we'll get into some of the details of what's happening there, which is really a very sad situation. And we might touch on the ordeal with Trump. And I think everybody's heard so much about that. I don't know how much. Well, everybody knows it's a scam of what's going on. It's a game. It's the unrestricted war. Anything, they will do whatever it takes, and it's just kind of the way it is. And so we'll deal with that a little bit more. But the main thing is to get into what Juneteenth is. Now it's officially a national holiday, and it's known as the Emancipation Day, Freedom Day, Jubilee, Black Independence Day, and Juneteenth Independence Day. And it's considered to be the official end of slavery. While slavery was ended with the Civil War in 1863, it didn't seem to make it all across the countryside until 1865, when it actually was the Union soldiers went into Galveston, Texas, and said the slavery was over to stop it. And at that point, that's why it's considered the official end of slavery, if you will. Now, we have a guest coming on tonight. He's not here just yet, but he wrote an article about this, and I would encourage you to go to this article and make sure I get back to it myself. It's on the Miami Independent. Look for the Miami Independent. Juneteenth is a grand Republican holiday. And it's pretty interesting. It talks about the fact that, and this is something no one wants to talk about, it was the Republicans that set the black people free, to set the slaves free. Not all slaves were black, but most of them were. But the point is, it was Republicans who set them free. It was not Republicans who owned the slaves. It was the Democrats who owned the slaves. Yet this has been so twisted and manipulated through history that they are totally convinced it's the Democrats who want people to be free. And they just totally refused to accept the fact it was the Democrats who were the KKK. It was and still is the Democrats. It was the Planned Parenthood was about killing off the black people. It's just such a bad history, the untold truth of the history of slavery and how it was ended and who ended it. Trust me, I'm not real happy with the Republicans these days. I have a lot of reasons to not like them myself. But when it comes to the issue of racism and white supremacy and all this stuff, it isn't the case. Let me see if, okay, I see Ed has joined us. So in just a minute here, I'll introduce him. And if he wants to tell you a little bit more about the story and the real history of it. I will let him do that because it's an excellent article. And again, go out there to the the Miami Independent. Miami Independent, go out there. Juneteenth is a grand Republican holiday. It's an excellent article on it, and it's really the truth. We need to be honest. It wasn't the Democrats who freed the slaves. It was the Republicans, the Grand Army of the Republic. And the Union Army was overwhelmingly made up of non-fragile, masculine, white men of European settler stock. And there's been so much propaganda out there, the intent to brainwash, the intent to divide, the intent to destroy. It's just amazing how it's gotten so out of hand and how people have been so brainwashed into believing the falsehoods. And it's a big part of the problem what we have today. We have several things, but ultimately the underlying fact is we have a group of people who want to destroy, the culture. And this is part of it, the lie about the white supremacy and all this other stuff. And then, as I was saying, too, the other thing today, we're having a Florida in review, and Ed Vidal is going to talk about his article that he wrote and also about the election integrity bill and how it got there and what's really going on. I mean, people need to understand Florida, hey, it's done so much better than the other states on the COVID stuff, and it's definitely in better shape than many other states. So there's nothing, no complaint there. However, we need to be careful about what's really going on in the back room and how some other things are going on that really aren't not making Florida the freedom state like we're wanting it to be. And we also need to see the role that Governor DeSantis played, because what he did there, he did a lot of good, but you can't ignore the other. If he wants to be the president, I think we need to consider all these factors before you go and decide who you want to vote for and to support. So, and then, like I say, next week, planning on having a discussion. I'm going to call it unrestricted warfare because of the propaganda that's going on. Anything goes, and, of course, the COVID, what COVID has done to the next generation, next couple generations of this country. Anything goes. It's just a sad state of affairs. So with that being said, let me get Ed in here right now, and then Karen is going to talk about the property rights and what's been happening on that side of it in Florida as well, because that has been such a mess. People have no idea how we've been being sold out that way too. We're doing better than other states, but you gotta take a closer look. You cannot believe what you read in the newspaper. You gotta go out there, and you really have to try to follow what they're doing at your state and local level. Unfortunately, sometimes the local commissions don't even know what they're doing at the state that's taking away the rights from the local government. It's a sad situation. Anyway, with that being said, Ed, can you hear me?
Hi, can you hear me?
That's the real question, Ken. Yes, thank you so much for coming on. I was reading your article earlier, and it's an excellent thing. It really is the truth with Juneteenth. We need to get the truth out there about the history. But you're obviously very engaged in the Florida, what's going on with Florida election law. You're an attorney and also a writer, because that was your column, the thing about the Juneteenth. So please feel free to tell us a little bit more about yourself, why you got involved in this, and if you want to give us a little bit more of the history, you're more than welcome to, and then get into the election integrity bill of Florida.
Okay, well, I guess the most important thing to understand about me, and that's at the bottom of in my bio, is that when I was 9 years old in 1966, my family immigrated from Cuba. So I was born in 57. I was there. I lived within 50 miles of Bay of Pigs. And I saw my father had a pharmacy that had been in the family, and it was confiscated by the government with no compensation. And so they took his livelihood away. And in 1965, there was a settlement of the Bay of Pigs, and Freedom Flights were allowed to come to the U.S. So anybody who wanted to leave Cuba and left all their property, which we had been taken away by then, was able to come. So in 1966, my family came to Miami. My dad got a job in Chicago, so I grew up in Chicago, went to college and law school there. And so the important thing is that I've already lived all this. Right now, I can see that progressives in the United States are trying to pull off a socialist totalitarian revolution. And that is not an exaggeration, and I've seen it. And I remember it when I was 9 years old. I learned English when I was 9 years old. And in college, I studied Russian civilization. I studied communism, and I kept track of it. Although I have to admit, for 30 years after college, I was a business lawyer, and I was corporate law in Chicago and then New York. And so when I got to be 55, I had an opportunity to take early retirement, which I did. My kids were gone. I have two kids. And so my wife and I moved from New York, where I was working, to our favorite city, which is Houston, because we're both kind of Texans. But then our kids settled on the East Coast, so we moved to Miami. And that's where we are. In the morning, I'm a part-time lawyer, and in the afternoon, I'm very active with Election Integrity. And I also write for this new digital newspaper here in Miami called the Miami Independent. But you have to understand, all my insights are from where I came from. And, when you ask somebody, where are you from? Some people are offended by that, but it's really very important. In Washington, they say that people are policy, that whoever you appoint, the person will be the policy. People are policy. And they also say what you see depends on where you stand. So that's where you got to figure out where people are standing so you can see where they're going to be coming from and ask them where they're from. So that's the first, you said you wanted to know about me. Now, do you want me to talk about Juneteenth or you want me to go into the legislative issues?
Well, I know you're not going to be able to stay on for the whole length of the show. So
right.
If you want to give a little bit of the Juneteenth, just if you want to, but then
sure.
I think the integrity law thing is really important.
Yep. Well, okay. So I went to college at the University of Chicago in the South Side of Chicago. So that is the heart of the Black community. My wife and I went to our 45th college reunion 3 weeks ago, and we went to a church on the South Side that's run by a pastor named Corey Brooks. And he's a very outspoken conservative Republican, and he's starting this. He has a project called Project Hood, which is he's building a training center where he can train people to have trades and vocations so that they can support themselves instead of relying on the welfare state and on crime. And so that's where I come to the Black community. And I've always been very interested in, of course, race is the key issue in America. So I've always been very focused on that. And this article on Juneteenth is really just a recapitulation of the facts, which is, it was the Union Army. It was the Republicans who freed the slaves. It was the Democrats who owned them. And that's very important because one of the when you look at the 20th century and how progressives and Margaret Sanger have been the racist party, it started with Woodrow Wilson, who segregated the civil service. Woodrow Wilson was 10 years old living in South Carolina when Sherman went marching through. He was a Confederate. He hated the Union Army. And he was the Democrat president, and he was the one who started the segregation of the federal civil service. And he goes through Franklin Roosevelt was another guy who was very racist, and Lyndon Johnson was the guy who set up the Great Society, the War on Poverty. And what that did was expanded the welfare state. And what the welfare state does, and it does it everywhere all over the world, is that it tempts you into giving up on yourself and on your family and becoming dependent on government. And if you become dependent on government, then you're going to vote for the party of government, and that's what Lyndon Johnson wanted. And that's what a pastor like Corey Brooks can see today, and he wants to break that dependency. And that's really what my article is about. It's about paying attention to a guy like Corey Brooks, Pastor Corey Brooks in the South Side of Chicago. He wants to break the dependency that the welfare state has. It's a temptation. It's like Jesus was tempted in the desert. The welfare state tempts us all, and it does that in Europe too. It's everywhere it's used. The welfare state is a temptation to become dependent on Caesar, and that's really what that article is about. So if there are any questions or anything, I'm happy. I'm here. I'm always available to you. I can only be on for the first hour, but I'm happy to answer questions. The second point is the legislative process of election integrity. And I'm active with the Election Integrity Brigade of Miami-Dade County. We used to be affiliated with local Republican Party, but we have become disaffiliated because we're very disappointed with local Republican Party. So we have our own Election Integrity Brigade of Miami-Dade County, and we're very active with election integrity through various groups. There's a group called Florida Fair Elections, which is very, very active and very knowledgeable. They're connected with another national group called Election Integrity Network, and that's run out of Northern Virginia. Cleta Mitchell is a lawyer that runs that. Ned Jones is another one that's very useful. And so we are plugged in, I would say, to networks in the state and also nationwide. There's also American Values Voters that runs these. So these people run weekly webinars and conference calls, so we keep up with the latest. And so together with the Florida Fair Elections, when this legislative session came up, we came up with a wish list of what we wanted for the legislature. And most of it was tightening the ID requirements. I'm a naturalized citizen, so I think it's very important that only U.S. citizens be allowed to vote. We also wanted to clean up the voter rolls. That's a key requirement because I've been a poll watcher for many years, 15 years. But, you know, if you're poll watching, but the polls list, voting lists are corrupted, there's nothing you can do. And finally, vote by mail. We're very much opposed to vote by mail. Vote by mail is an invitation to fraud because you don't know who's voting that, what influence is being exerted on the voter. People can vote for dead voters, absent voters, make-up voters. That's a lot of what happened in the presidential election. The made-up voters were mailed in, and other people voted for the actual voters. And so vote by mail is a real invitation for fraud. But those are priorities. And the ladies from Florida Fair Elections went up to Tallahassee. We had conference calls weekly, and we were ready to go. What happened was that all of a sudden, during the week of Easter, when people were visiting and family was here, the first draft of the legislation was made public. And so that right there tells you something's wrong. That's not the way to do it. So we went up and we went to Tallahassee. We wrote to our legislators. We wrote to the Secretary of State. And we continued to make statements. We continued to speak out, but nobody listened. Defend Florida became involved. I sent a letter on behalf of our group, and many other election integrity groups did that. They sent their legislators, sent letters to the Secretary of State, and at the end of it, we didn't get what we wanted. We convened to see what had happened. The Florida Fair Election Legislative Working Group, we figured that we had gotten 20% of what we had asked for. And I said, well, look, Florida has 67% Republican legislators, and our conservative Republican governor, allegedly, got 59% of the vote. Why are we only getting 20%? And the answer is you have to – it's not enough just to look at the issue. You have to look at the players, and you have to look at the players in the octagon. You know, it's like mixed martial arts. You're getting into an octagon. You're not getting into a boxing ring with one other fighter and a referee and rules. You're getting into an octagon. It's more like Mad Max and Thunderdome. It's every man for himself in that octagon. So what we did in our review and what we're going to be rating ready for is you have to see who else is in the arena. And there are three players in the arena that were working against the grassroots conservative groups that exist all up and down Florida, and that includes our group here in Miami-Dade. The first group by far is the Florida Association of Supervisors of Elections. There are 67 counties in Florida. Each of them has a supervisor of elections who runs the local election. They have a cartel, a public sector cartel, that gets together to push for their interests. And so these are people that the taxpayers fund. So they use taxpayers' money to lobby against taxpayers, in effect, because their interests are not the interests of freedom and individual citizens. They have their own interests. They subscribe to the progressive view that government should be by so-called expert technocrats with very little, if any, accountability to we the people. That's how they look at things. They're unionized government bureaucrats. So these people have formed a cartel, and it's called the FSE, Florida Association of Supervisors of Elections, and they were the ones who were exercising the most power. They were the ones who drafted the first draft. And the first draft contained a clause that totally made me throw up. It said it made it a third-degree felony for poll watchers to, quote, harass or intimidate election workers and even campaign workers. That is just totally outrageous. That's totally out of the narrative and the talking points of the progressive election groups that we have been fighting. So the first group that we have to worry about is the FSE. They are funded by taxpayers' dollars, but they also get a lot of funding and donations in kind from vendors, the machine vendors and other vendors. So they get money from vendors. Well, of course, the vendors don't have the same interest as the citizens and the taxpayers and the voters. And they get a lot of donations in kind from progressive groups, like the group that took Zuckerberg money, groups led by people like David Becker. These are Soros-funded groups. So the FSE, definitely the enemy. Now, the second group that was the enemy, not as much as the FSE, were the legislators themselves. And here's where you have to understand the Florida legislature. The Florida legislature is a top-down organization. The local legislators are not independent. What happens in Florida is that the big donors, and that means like Big Sugar, Florida Crystals, owned by the Fanjul family. And by the way, this is all lawful, but this is what happens. Big Sugar, Big Electric Power, Florida Power and Light, Duke Power is big over in Tampa. It used to be Big Mouth, but Disney has kind of shot itself in the foot by going for pedophile grooming, so that they're in question. But they used to give a lot of money to all the legislators. And then I guess you have big developers, Lennar, nothing wrong with that. These are all lawful businesses, but they are big donors, and they go to the leadership in Tallahassee. They fund the Republican Senate Campaign Committee and the Republican House Campaign Committee. Florida is a Republican state, has become a Republican state, so it's the Republicans where the game is played. So these campaign committees and these Senate and House leaders are very much control who gets elected. The way the Republican leadership works is they go to a district and they pick who they're going to support with money, with manpower, with advertising, and they port him against other Republicans in good standing. So it's not like, you know, it's a fair fight. The party is favoring one person who has been selected by the leaders. And the leaders, just like the welfare state, the leaders pick people who are dependent on them. If you have your own business, if you have a law practice that's thriving, if you're have an electrical contracting business and you want to go into the legislature, the leadership doesn't want you because they can't control you because you don't need them. You have your own business. You want to be a good citizen, civic-minded. So as a result, the legislators in Florida tend to be very much not independent. They're totally yes men. They're good people. They're not. I'm not saying they're bad, but they tend to be dependent on leadership. They don't buck leadership, and that's how leadership wants them, which is fine. But you have to understand that in the Senate, in particular, Kate Pastodomo is a true rhino. In almost every bill where Governor DeSantis, who I think is more conservative, for example, constitutional carry, we didn't get full constitutional carry. We got permitless carry. It's like she'll give you, you know, 90% or not the whole thing. Well, in this case, she sided very much with the Florida Supervisors of Elections. And so the bill was very much slanted. The first draft was terrible. We worked hard. We got some of the most onerous parts out. But it's still not what we want. And that brings up the player who I think was the weakest player, and that was Governor DeSantis' representative, Secretary of State Cord Byrd, who's a great guy, a Christian, a conservative, but he let the other two monsters run the show too much. And I appealed to him. I said the Florida Supervisors of Election are an extra constitution. You know, they're the administrative state. They're not the judiciary. They're not the legislative. They're not the executive. They're the fourth branch of government, an unconstitutional fourth branch. And he said to me, no, they're part of the Constitution. I said, yeah, I know that we have to have the administrative state, but we cannot let them run our legislation for us in any area. And I went back to James Madison. James Madison in Federalist 51 said, our job is, first of all, to, you know, men are not angels, so you need government, okay? You can't live in the state of nature. So first you need the government to be able to establish order, and that is through force. But second, once you do that, you have to be able to check that government. You have to check and balance them so that they don't steal your liberty. And that's the issue today. Madison pegged it in Federalist 51. By the way, Woodrow Wilson hated Madison, hated the Federalist Papers, hated the Constitutionians. So that's what you got to understand. So we were fighting against these three players. Secretary of State should have been fighting more for us. I don't think he knew what he was getting into. We know now. So we are today, we had a call, and we're going to be ready for the next legislative session. The drafting is going to start in the fall, and we're going to be ready. We know who the players are. Defend Florida is going to be active. Florida Fair Elections, I think, has learned their lesson. And we're going to be confronting these players. We're going to keep track of the Florida Supervisors of Elections Association. And we're going to want to have identity, voter ID. We want U.S. citizenship. We want to reduce the vote by mail. That is rife with fraud. Cut it back to as close to the original absentee balloting as possible. And we want to clean up the voter rolls, remove dead people. See, if somebody's dead and a precinct captain knows that, then he can vote for him because he's not going to say, oh, I wasn't there. Other thing is people who move away. You got to clean up the voter rolls. If a bad precinct captain knows that somebody has moved away, he'll go in and vote for them because he knows that they're registered to vote, but they're not going to show up. That's what we got to watch out for, and that's what we're doing. So that's my conclusion. And I'm happy to take questions or from you or from any of your callers, however you want to do it.
Well, first I'm going to follow up on the Supervisor Elections Association thing, because I don't think people really have a sense of how much this really matters. Because I was talking to I'm up here in Jackson County, and I was talking to the Supervisor Elections and you know,
what city is that?
I'm sorry, what's that?
Where's Jackson County? Where is that? What city
is
that?
It's in the Panhandle. It's in the Panhandle
area.
Okay. Yeah, just a little bit north of Panama City in that area. Karen, who's going to be here, Karen Schoen, she's going to be on here in just a minute. She was one of the poll watchers at the same time. I know she worked with it too. And it's like they didn't the Supervisor Elections. She didn't want the paper ballots, because it was too much time and too much work. And I just remember when we had this discussion, it was like, I want to know what these supervisors of elections are doing, and that's when I learned about their association. And I said, we've got them fighting against us because they don't feel like bothering with us. And I was in Orange County for many years. I was born and raised in Orange County. And at one point, we had passed a change to the local charter to you have term limits for the Supervisor Elections, because the guy had been there forever. And it passed with flying colors. It passed. But then it was reversed because they said it was a state office and you couldn't do that at the local level. So there needs to be term limits on these Supervisors of Elections, too. They shouldn't be owning the election. And I looked out at the website for the Supervisor Elections Association site. We're here to ensure the integrity and all this kind of stuff of elections. I'm like, no, you're not.
They're the administrative state. You can't trust them.
No. It was just really disgusting. And I just don't think people pay enough attention. And I would say for the most part out there in the state of Florida, go out there and replace every Supervisor Elections. Unless you've got some real reason, and let's say we're fighting for the paper ballots. Because as my understanding, I know we were trying to get the paper ballots, but hasn't there been something out there now trying to block where I think at one point it was up to the counties they could use paper ballots if they wanted to. But is there something out there trying to block paper ballots in Florida or anything like that?
Well, the machine vendors are certainly against it. And the supervisors of elections don't want to do it. So yeah, they're sitting on their hands.
But if we go, if enough people would go locally to their commissioners and say, you know, we want paper ballots, we get rid of these corrupt machines, and we want the paper ballots. Is there any reason at the local level, at the county level, that we could or couldn't do that? What's the state?
There are some restrictions in state law against hand counting paper ballots, and there's some language that says that you're supposed to use machines. So that's where we have to address it at the state legislative level. Yes.
Okay. Because I think we really have to push that one too. And DeSantis, he's out gallivanting across the countryside, you know, now running for president. But if he doesn't speak up and promote.
Don't worry.
What's that?
Don't worry. He doesn't have a chance.
Oh, no. No. But I'd rather him be here fighting for honesty. He talks about, he has his book, Freedom, Courage for Freedom, or whatever that book is. He's out there doing all this stuff. What about fighting for the election?
March 20, 2024, he will have all the time in the world. He's going to lose the primary in his home state, and that's going to be pretty embarrassing. And, he's going to have to pick himself up, and I'm going to help him because I think he's a good guy, but I'm with Trump. It's the time is right for Trump again.
Yep. I agree, and there's other reasons why I'm not real happy with DeSantis, but we're not going to go into that tonight. Okay, Cindy, I think, wants to chime in on this and add a few comments to it, and then Karen, I'm sure, also will, but Karen's also going to be talking about the property rights. So, Cindy, what are you thinking?
Well, first of all, I'd like to comment on what he was talking about with the supervisor of election. I sent this out in 21. Katie Couric. And Chris Cribbs, the misinformation tour from the Aspen Institute. The Aspen Institute sending it out probably for 12, 10, 15 years, warning people, Paul Ryan when he was running. This institution is horrible. So what they did is they had a misinformation tour. And when the supervisor of elections had their little convention, I think it was in Tampa or wherever, somewhere up there, we found out this Chris Cribbs was going to go. Now, you know who he was. He was the guy that Trump fired. Let me think who he was with. He was not some security tech guy. He fired him.
Mm-hmm.
So now he's in bed with, this is who was on with him. So Katie Couric, and then they had this Rashid Robinson, who's the president of Color of Change, Chris Cribbs, the former director of Department of Homeland Security, Cybersecurity, and Infrastructure Security. So they were going around, probably across the country, where these conventions were going on with our supervisor of election. So we went down to our local supervisor of election, which is run by Vicki Davis, who is a Republican.
Is that Indian River?
Pardon?
Is that in Indian River?
No, I'm in Martin County.
Martin County. Okay. All right. Good.
Right. So Vicki, I've known her probably 30 years. She sounded like she was disturbed, but, to me, what you just said about the legislature is totally true because it all went to heads last week. They had an REC meeting. I don't sit on the REC anymore because I can't do what I can do if I did sit on the REC. So they had a big fight. And the legislators came in, Toby Overdorf, Gail Harrell, and I'm thinking about the other one, John Snyder, who is the sheriff's son. Well, they gave them a riot act, and they had a petition telling them that they were a huge disappointment and we will primary them. And now this is, when I tell you how bad it is, they don't care. Toby Overdorf told me on the phone, and I've been trying to get some help on some property issues I have.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to me, I said, so what? So he's telling me some things. And he says, well, you know, don't tell anybody that I said anything because, you know, I have future aspirations, of course. And somebody from Rubio's office, when I mentioned who it was, the senator from Naples, who brought us the local act, the low Affordable Housing Act.
Pasadena.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, he just said, you know, basically what you said and worse. So I don't, and you can't tell people this. I mean, I go out every day, and we're fighting here in Martin County, and they still don't get it. Because you know what? They're all hooked on power. It really starts at the local level. If you look at everything that we are paying out of our taxes for our local commissioners, life insurance policies, why am I paying for a life insurance policy? And I can go on. And then they get reelected. There's no, we don't have any, they can be in there for 8 years, 10 years, 15 years.
Yeah. No term limit.
So it's embedded. And then all the money that was going around with COVID, let me tell you about that. So everybody took money from COVID, right? So now that's come home to roost because the money ran out and now their interest rates have gone up and now they're all scrambling around town. Now this is the commissioners, the city commissioners, the realtors involved, the Chamber of Commerce, who does not work for the people. He works for the cabal. They're all in on it. And I don't know how we break it up. We had a bunch of people here who started a We the People thing, and they thought they were going to go in there and you know, go to the courts and whatever they were going to do. I forgot, like a nationalist movement, and they got nowhere. They quit. So that whole movement has gone off. The only thing that's left here is the Tea Party, which is what I am. And I just don't even know what to say because it's everywhere.
Without that, you don't have anything else.
No, we're not going to get any help from the, we're not getting any help from the Republican Party because everybody's in bed with one another and they're all going to each other's cocktail parties, which I refuse to do. And I sat on that REC, I think, for like 17 years. I even was a board member. And I came in during Clinton. So, you know, I just, when I started the Tea Party, I stayed on for a while. We put all the people on the Tea Party. We put them all on the REC. We even wrote, so everybody knows that we wrote the only conservative platform in all of Florida because Florida Republican Party doesn't even have a platform. So we took the Phyllis Schlafly idea, and we got a platform written. And that was to be used to vet the candidates. Well, they refused to vet the candidates with it. So we're really back to now what we have is we have the voter, you know, we have Dan Schultz, who encouraged everybody to go on from the Precinct Project, and a lot of people quit. And that's because they went in with their star, you know, with stars in their eyes. And I always tell people, you know, well, I, this isn't me. I'm not calling anybody. I said, well, okay, you don't. But, you know, we do have some power in this sense. If you call your representative, at the end of the day, they count how many calls they get to those offices because they're always running for the next election. So if they're, if their phones are melting down, let's say they get 1,000 calls. Oh, my God, they're like, wait a minute, maybe I shouldn't vote for that bill. But we don't have enough people to do that. Emails are a waste of time. And I don't know. I don't know what to say. And I hear the frustration. I'm on this texting thing with the people from Palm Beach County on election integrity, and they're trying everything they can to do there. I think, I don't know if they're working with the organization you talked about, because Jenny Beth Martin from Tea Party Patriots is also involved on the national level with that woman with voter integrity. So, but they're going to start, Tea Party Patriots is going to start gearing up again, and they hope to be in a lot of the states to try to help with that.
Okay.
So I really don't know what the
tell her
answer
if
is.
She wants to go come down to Miami-Dade County, where we have an election integrity brigade, and we're pretty active.
Oh, great. That, can you send me that information to my email, and then what I'll do is I'll
sure.
You know, I'll remind myself when we have the next conference call will be in probably in July.
Okay.
Okay? Perfect.
Yep.
That's all I have to say.
Okay, well, I know that's not really all you have to say, Cindy, but that's
Aspen
okay.
I mean, tell everybody that you know. We should put publicizing about the Aspen Institute. Nobody even knows about it. Now they've got Prince Harry on there.
Yeah, that Aspen Institute is a whole other topic.
Oh, my God.
And you're right. Okay. Most people have no clue. Just like most people don't know the Federal Reserve is a private bank, is a central bank.
That's right.
Ignorance is not bliss. It's not bliss. We've got to do more to get these people awake of what's going on. And people are starting to wake up, but I tell you, they need to wake up a lot faster. And you're right, the frustration that Cindy's talking about, you're just saying, asking people to call. I send out emails, make a phone call. Maybe these people do. They don't tell me. I don't know. Just pick up the phone. Here, I've given you the link so you can get your representative. It's the same one here. I've given you the number. I've done as much as I can, but you're the one who has to pick up the phone and make the phone call.
I'm going to tell you what I really think, okay? Back in the day when you worked on elections, we had phone banks. And people came in and you worked those phone banks till 9 o'clock at night. I was tempted to actually do that in my house. If there's an important bill, to get everybody over here, okay? And what I did one time at one of the meetings, I asked everybody to take out their phone. I gave them a slip of paper. I said, this is every elected official. Put them in your phone. When they were done putting them in the phone, I had the state rep, Mary Lynn Magar, who, by the way, told me, I'm not a lawyer. And I was told to go along, get along. So if I wanted to make any change or get anything done with health care, I had to vote for these bills. That's what she told me. Okay? She is no longer a representative. She is now the chairman of the party here. Find a rhino, but not a rhino, right? In between somewhere. But so after I had to plug in the phone and give every, and I had about 145 people at this meeting. I had her go up and tell everybody, one phone call is 100 votes. And I said, when you see an alert, go out in an email. And then we also had a texting thing, like a group text. I said, then you know that we're asking you to do something. Well, I think it lasted about 3 months, and then people just didn't want to do it. So, you know, we have ourselves to blame for this. We really do. I blame the public.
Yes.
I do. I don't.
Well,
listen, we have a lot of bad people running our country right now, and it's really getting very dangerous what's going to happen in the next 2 weeks with the dollar and all of this. And yet, you know what? We don't have anybody. The people are going along. They're going on a cruise, and they're doing this, and they're doing that. Like, everything's it's pie in the sky.
Yeah. Well, people haven't suffered enough. People haven't suffered enough on some of the stuff.
Well, I don't want to
excuse me, but of course, ultimately, it was the dumbing down of people and brainwashing, and through the media is the virus. I mean, there's many, many reasons why people are so complacent on this stuff. But you would think by now, and there's that many of us who those on this call right now who have been out there trying to wake up people for the past 15 to 20 years plus whatever. And it's very difficult, especially when they're getting all this. Here you have Fox News, which was supposed to be this conservative voice. This is going to be, they're supposed to be the ones. And look what they're doing. I mean, it's just, it's been so disgusting. And I got to mention one thing, too, and then I'll get Kieran in here so she can ask a couple of questions before we get into the property thing. But the thing that gets me, I was part of OCREC, Orange County Republican Executive Committee, a while back. I ran for Orange County Mayor. The OCREC violated all the rules. It was the people from OCREC who were the supporting the other candidate. There was only two of us. There was only two Republicans. And by the county charter, if there's only two candidates, because it's a nonpartisan race for the county mayor, that it had to go to the general. So they went in and stuck in a write-in candidate, an old geezer who didn't like me. Fred Grant was his name. And many stories on that guy. He and me arguing over transportation. But anyway, they put him in as a write-in candidate. Well, write-in candidates weren't supposed to be allowed. They weren't part of the primary process. And all this other stuff. This is the Republican Party corrupting the elections. So, you know, we can complain all we want to about what the Democrats are doing, and it's really pretty scummy and terrible. But look in the mirror with these Republicans, and the Republican Party of Florida is useless. And this is where I fight, and this is – if you come up have any ideas that how we can do this, I will be the first one in line to do whatever it is We need to make major, major changes into Florida law, and including how we select the electors to vote for the president, which we talked about that last week, because the process is so corrupt that I'm sick of both parties, and I'm now back into being a no-party affiliate, same as George Washington, and I'm basically eliminated from this process. And overall, I believe in Florida, it's something like 45% of the voters are no party affiliate or are part of a third party. They both are, many, many voters are sick of both Republicans and Democrats, and these people are excluded. We've got to figure a way to get Americans back in the voting process because they don't want to deal with everything that Cindy's talking about. This is why you don't want to be part of this party. With the, being part of the Republican Party is, doesn't mean anything in the state of Florida. And I know Karen, she's going to say it, and it's okay. go ahead and say it. We need to get rid of the crud that's in the Republican Party now, and we got to clean it up. Blah, 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 blah. I think hell will freeze over first. Nothing personal, but I believe that's what will happen first before you clean up the Republican Party of Florida. It's a very bad situation.
You can't wait till you do the whole cleanup. So you got to go with the partly dirty, but you got to clean them up enough. And our objective here is to clean it up enough so that we can have free and fair elections, so that we can recruit enough people to be poll watchers, so we can keep an eye on the supervisor of elections. We're not trying to totally reform the Republican Party. We're trying to reform it enough so we can do our job, which is to have free and fair elections.
The free and fair elections, and I just opened the mic for Karen. So, Karen, just give me one quick second here. The thing is, excuse me, there's something totally disgusting when to me it's a poll tax. This goes back, and I see Nathan out there. I don't know if he's going to chime in just yet. Excuse me. The definition of a poll tax when it comes to the Constitution and the electors, I'm denied the right to participate unless I sign up to be part of an association, a private entity called a Democrat or a Republican Party. And that part is not right. There's a very strong constitutional issue to me when I have to be associated with a private entity that I don't believe in, that I believe is really crumbs, scumbuckets, corrupt. Both of them are corrupt as far as I'm concerned, and I think that can be proven quite easily. So forcing me to be part of those groups, those organizations, so that I have a right to participate in the elections is just not the right thing to do. And I really think it's time we get somebody out there. So if you have any ideas on that one, please let me know. With that being said, Karen, go ahead and chime in.
Most of everything I think Ed is right. We have to start. And what's the most important thing? The most important thing is to win. Because if you don't win, you're not going to get anywhere. So how do you win? We've got to clean up the election. And that should be everyone's priority. And unfortunately, it's not. And the only reason why I go back to the Republican Party is that in less than 2 years, I believe it would be, there would be enough time for a new third party to be born,
right,
and be put on every state charter so that they can hold and be part of federal elections.
Third parties in American politics are for losers. The way American politics works is that there are two runways. It's like a ski. I don't know if you're in the Olympics. They have the two tracks. And the tracks themselves have very little substance. There's some basic substance. But the trick in American politics is to take over one or the other of the tracks. And what's happened is that the Democrats have been taken over by these extreme progressive socialists. And even over the last 10 or 12 years, they've gone further to the left. So what we have to do is take over enough of the Republican track so that we can fight off the Democrats and the socialists, really. Like I say, we have to fight off the rhinos first before we can reach to fighting the socialists. And if a third party, we went to a meeting, and I'm in touch with a Libertarian Party here in Miami-Dade. It's totally useless. They're great people. We need to get them involved in what we're doing with the conservative groups. third parties in American politics don't work. You got to take over one or the other of the parties and make it work enough. And you'll never clean it up enough because it's politics. But third parties just are for losers, really. It, look at Ross Perot. If he had run primaries in 1992, he would have beaten Poppy Bush. Just, and that's what Trump learned. You don't.
But he never had
party,
a chance.
You go right up the gut. Who?
But he would have never had a chance because the Republican Party is so corrupt. He would have never had a chance.
Trump pulled it off. Trump pulled it off in 2016. He won the Republican primaries. And Perot was not consistent. He pulled in and out. But I think he won 19% of the popular vote. That's a huge number.
Yep.
Poppy Bush was very weak. And if Perot had run right at him instead of forming a third party and then coming in and out, I think Perot would have had a good chance. And I think that's what we got to do. The action in Florida is in the primaries. Okay,
yes.
The Republicans are the majority, generally the majority party. So the place to fight them, to fight the rhinos, is in the primaries and challenge them.
Yes.
That's
yeah,
what we're doing.
Okay,
and you have to not allow money, which they have so much of, to be the deciding factor.
Well, it's only a factor. You know, get the word out. There are lots of ways to get the word out, especially with social media, with radio. We have Spanish language radio here in Miami. There's a lot of ways to get the word out.
Well, that is
more
important than spending an inordinate amount of money, because I tell everybody, okay, so I'm a billionaire. What does that give me? I still really only have one vote. So money is money. We should vote with our money, but we should also make sure that we get out to vote. How many Republicans never got up off the couch to vote at all, period? That's
I know.
The problem
I heard, I'm on these interstate
we have another call,
election
yeah.
integrity calls, and they said that in Michigan they thought 800,000 Republicans had dropped out of voting in the last year or last couple, in the last round of
Well.
You can't do that. You got to stay involved.
That's where the issue truly comes up to it, and I'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. But it looks like Bianca wants to ask a question, so let me see if he can get Bianca. You there?
Well, you know, I got two things. One is your opinion on the Supreme Court telling Alabama he has to create another black district.
That was terrible, but that's George Bush. See, what happened is that was the three Democrats plus the Chief Justice, Roberts, who's a Bush appointment. He's a total dingbat. He's a progressive. He's afraid to take a stand. And unfortunately, he was able to drag Kavanaugh with him. Kavanaugh is another Bushy. He worked in the Bush White House. So that's what happened.
Yep.
It was Roberts and Kavanaugh who caved in.
Or maybe we need to go to where each state appoint a justice for a term, and that way you can get away from this presidential dependency.
Well,
you have to come up with one to break a tie.
Well, you'd have to amend the Constitution for that. I just think
No. The Constitution don't have no set limit on the number of judges.
Yeah, but if you start adding justices, then Democrats will start packing the court.
What you do is allow each state to have one justice. So you'd have 50 of them. I mean, that's not uncommon. Some countries have it.
No, that's
each
not
state
practical.
One justice.
Venezuela has 50 of them, yeah. I'll tell you what's practical.
Right.
Primary rhinos. Take them out. Pick them up.
We've been talking about taking out rhinos forever. And I've got more years behind me than in front. It ain't going to happen. The people.
Well, we're doing it here.
They like to have money. I tell you something else.
Okay.
You might want to think about joining the Convention of States, because they got an excellent way of getting communicated to their members.
I've been there for 10 years.
Yeah. Okay, hold Bianca. Let me answer you. Because Ed's not going to be able to stay on the whole show, so let him go ahead and give
it
to you.
Oh, I'm sorry, Ed. I didn't know. I thought he was a regular.
I've been with a convention since 2014 at least, and when I was in Texas. So I'm familiar with them. I support them. But I think you can't really change the Supreme Court that much. We got a lot of good, we're going to get a lot of good decisions coming up here in June.
Dropping very shortly, 6 p.m. live. I'm going live with Sean Parnell, great American hero. Getting it.
Okay. Okay. Again, I know Ed. No, you don't have too much more time. I see a couple other people want to get a question in here. Let me get Nathan. Nathan's one of our top election people, and he calls in every week for his therapy as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Listen. First of all, if we're going to clean out the elections, the first thing we need to do is we need to look at what does the Constitution say. And I'm not talking about I can care less about the state constitutions. If we don't know what the federal Constitution says, then they're going to keep they're not going to know what to do. Okay, on the Tea Party in 2010 rose up as a rejection to the Republican Party because Obama got elected and he was winning on every point. The Republicans and Jenny Beth Martin, this was a federal, they federalized the Tea Party movement. They federalized it. The Tea Party Patriots, we got the Tea Party Express, which Amy Kramer, and I got a copy of the court case, and then the second court case where she was demanded to pay back the money that she stole because she thought the PayPal account in her name was her money and her boyfriend went shopping. Sal Russo from Tea Party Express, to keep it quiet, brought her over there, made her a co-chair. I asked him, co-chair, does that mean y'all sit in the same chair? Or you, how does that work? They had to salvage that, and they didn't want a big stink about that. And then Amy Kramer, whenever we had John McCain and Obama was having their election, CNN lady asked Amy Kramer, what do you think about Obama being born in Kenya? She goes, no, he was born in Hawaii. She had no evidence to prove that. Now, let me tell you something. The Republican parties, I want you to start with Orange County. Go to Orange County Supervisor of Elections and look at how many Republicans there are, and then count how many, subtract that from the no party affiliates, and then go through every county in Florida, and then go across the counties across the nation. The Republicans, I ain't going to say the Republicans, the people are talking, and they're not being heard. And the Republican Party, when you look at how bad the Republicans are behind the no party or in other states they're called independents, you look at how far behind they are, the last thing we need to do is be puffing air in a dead elephant, okay? The thing about the Republicans, they got elected and they put their buses together toward the Tea Parties, showing up with the message, reelect the Republicans and hold their feet to the fire. Okay, I want you to go look, or I can send it to you. The Obamacare vote that Ted Cruz did a 21-hour, 19-minute filibuster.
Yeah, I don't
want to
get into
that. The vote was 100 to 0.
Yeah. Well, this is the whole point. This is why people are fed up with the Republican Party. Not to interrupt you there, but, again, I know I want to make sure you get a question to Ed if you want him to comment or whatever, because, again, I know he's not going to be on too much longer here. Ed, just let me – give me the signal when you got to drop off.
I got to go at 8.
Hi.
Okay. That's about
it. Your comment. Like to make a comment.
Well, first off, did Ed want to say anything back to Nathan? Because he's only got about 2 minutes left here, 2 or 3 minutes left.
Well, you got to work with the parties that you got. As Rumsfeld said, you go to war with the army that you have.
I heard a woman say that one time about her husband that beat the snot out of her. You got to work with the husband you got.
Yeah, that's the way it is. But
I'm not in any abusive relationships.
Take out the right in the primaries.
I will vote my conscience. It'll be no party
absolutely.
Affiliate.
Okay, Nathan. Sorry, Nathan. Unfortunately, he's going to be dropping off in just a minute. Ed, if you want to, thank you so much. And as you can see, we need to have this conversation again.
You bet.
More on
I'm happy to talk Thanks very much.
So if you want to let people know how to get a hold of you or anything, or we'll definitely plan on having you back on.
713-725-6169. Send me a text. 713-725-6169. All right. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Okay. Anyway, Nathan, wasn't trying to cut you off there. I just knew he was going to have to drop in a couple of minutes. That's why I don't, you know, the Ted Cruz, we know the Republican Party. All we have to do is look and see what they've done just recently. I mean, you don't have to go back that far. This is after we've cleaned up the Republican Party and gotten a few good people out there, blah, blah, blah. And they still go, the McCarthy caves in and does what Biden wants and is helping Biden. So he's a rhino to the max. Is anybody going to get rid of McCarthy? No, he's not going anywhere. Again, not to overuse the expression, but I think hell will freeze over first before he's out of there. And then the garbage with Adam Schiff. I mean, 25 Republicans, so 20 of them voted no. 5 of them just buried their head in the sand and pretended not to know anything what was going on and didn't do anything. So 25 Republicans out there refused to go and speak up and say Adam Schiff should pay for the fraud he perpetrated on this public, on the American people with all this garbage with the Russian stuff he was doing. And that was the Republicans. These are your friends.
Okay, but Sally.
These are your friends.
Sally, that makes us mad right now. Okay, but in the next election, after this election, we're going to have another issue that makes us mad or something that the Republicans do that makes us happy. And then we get through the next election, and I got the pattern all the way back to just after World War II. I got the pattern of the Republican Party, and it's the same thing. They got a majority in 94. The contract with America got more R's than D's. And they had 12 bills and 8 promises. Now, I want you to hear just the first promise. The first promise was we will pass a law that Congress has to live by the same laws the rest of the country does. Now, I don't know where they already had the idea that they were above the law, the Constitution, and the people, but they had more R's than D's, okay? And they couldn't come up with enough R's to make that promise to keep that law, and they had enough R's to pass anything related to China, Bill Clinton gets blamed for the China policy. So, you know, I think we're in an abusive relationship, and all I'm going to say is, honey, I'm tired of being slapped around. It ain't going to happen anymore.
Okay. And with that being said, you're more than welcome to hang on here. I see Brother Warren wants to chime in, but I should just let everybody know that we're kind of wrapping up the topic of the Florida election stuff, because Karen's going to talk to us about what's going on in Florida with the property, and I'm sure Cindy's going to want to talk about that as well, chime in on that one too. But because we got two big topics to talk about, and we'll definitely get Ed back on here because I totally understand what they're saying, but okay, right now we have to depend on our enemy to save us. The Republican Party is part of the enemy, because it's been corrupted in many, many ways. There's many reasons why it's corrupted, and I totally understand what they're saying. Good luck cleaning up the Republican Party of Florida, and that's one of the questions when we get back to Cindy. Do you really think you're going to clean up the Republican Party of Florida? Do you really think so? I don't think so. I mean, when the Marjorie Taylor Greene out of Georgia who goes and does the garbage that she's done lately too, when she's supposed to be one of the good people. It's disgusting. Anyway, when I go to Brother Warren here, now remember this is in reference to the Florida election laws and election integrity, and then we're going to just a very quick comment. Unfortunately, Ed had to drop, so he won't be able to answer your question, but you can add a comment. Then I'm going to Karen to talk to us about what's happening with Florida property rights. You're on, Brother Warren.
Greetings. This is Brother Warren, host of New Orleans Wake Up, basically the hottest program on Blog Talk Radio with lots of followers daily. I want to comment on your guest and his remarks regarding Juneteenth in an article he wrote.
Okay.
Because I called in to engage him, and he had gone. I read his article from the Miami Independent, And if I had to grade it, I would give him a D. And I would give him a D for decontextualization. He put in a lot of facts, but he took them out of context. And I wanted to ask you, I saw in the chat you put Juneteenth is a grand Republican holiday. Now, why would you take agency, Sally, why would you take agency from the enslaved blacks and their descendants who were celebrating the awareness of their independence and then give it to a political party? Why would you do that, Sally?
Okay, well, first off, if you go look, I put the link into the chat, and then I put the title of his article there. So if you click on that link and you go there.
I read his article.
I put the title there. It was pretty simple.
Question,
I should have put it on one more. I should have put it on.
But the question would be.
That's all.
But the question would be, were Republicans enslaved for it to be their day?
Yes.
No, you're totally missing the point. It was the Republicans are the ones that freed the slaves, not the Democrats. That's
well,
the part
I understand.
That was what his
I understand.
Was
I understand
was,
Abraham
that's
Lincoln.
That's the point I was making. All I did was put the link
the party,
in the title of his article.
I understand the party of Lincoln were Republicans at the time. But the agency, that is the people themselves who fought to be free, you don't give them any agency. You don't give them any awareness or consciousness about their own situation.
Well, he did in his article.
No, I didn't see that at all. That's
why
I said
to his article.
I'm
saying, what is Juneteenth about? Juneteenth is what they consider to be the official freeing of the slaves of the United States of America. That's because of what happened, Galveston, Texas, and all of that stuff. That's the freeing of the slaves. That's what the point of the holiday is.
Well, let me also add this about the holiday. That celebration on Juneteenth really was big in Louisiana, in Texas, in Oklahoma, more so than other parts of the South, because other parts in the South had received word of the end of slavery earlier than did the people in Texas. So when my father was coming up here in Louisiana, Juneteenth was big. It wasn't so much by the time I came along, but the people in Louisiana and Texas and Oklahoma and Arkansas, that was a big celebration and continued before it became a holiday. And the question I have is, why did 14 Republicans, if it's a Republican holiday, why did 14 Republicans vote against it being a holiday?
You have to ask them. I don't know.
I got the names of the rascals. You want me to call them out?
Well, you're more than welcome to if you want to.
These are the Republicans
but,
who voted against that being a holiday.
Tell me why did 20 Republicans, 25 Republicans, not vote to censure Adam Schiff after the major fraud he perpetrated on all of America and led to two fraudulent impeachments to a president?
Well that's not a topic, Shelley.
Why you talk about the Republicans over there, make sure you talk about the fact the Republicans are pretty crappy on both sides. Okay?
Well, we're talking about the Juneteenth. I'm trying to stick to the topic that you have posted on your show,
Juneteenth.
Well,
no, you're talking about the Republicans.
You and others said this is a grand old Republican holiday. Why did 14 Republicans vote against it being a holiday?
Because they always vote against them.
Okay, so I'm just pointing out that. And number two, the last question, if the Democrats who encouraged slavery, which they did, and who made up the Confederacy, which they were, why do Republicans defend Confederate statues that the racist Democrats put up? Why do the Republicans defend those with so much passion and concern about Confederate statues coming down?
Because it's part of history.
The history still happens, but the character, the culprits are supposed to be the bad guys, right?
And it's supposed
to
provoke conversation that
you're
having. You're
not supposed to forget history.
You are never supposed to forget history.
Can I finish my position, Sally, before I was interrupted?
Yeah, go ahead, and then we got another caller out there,
question,
and then, like I said, we've got to move on to another topic.
After I ask the question, I'm finished. The question is, the Democrats were the slaveholders. They were the promoters of segregation and Jim Crow. Mm-hmm. The characters who were Confederate soldiers and generals were Democrats. So why do Republicans so passionately care and concern about statues to these people who promoted slavery coming down? That is a, I call that a big hypocrisy and contradiction. And I'll be quiet, Sally.
Well, I feel, okay, that's your question. I feel sorry that you feel that way because I happen to think history is very important. We need to understand all of history when, unfortunately, there are those who want to tear down history and rewrite it to whatever they want
well,
it to be.
Well, that's a very good point.
The statues are to remember, just like the one statue with Lincoln and the slave with the chain. The whole point was the end of it. That we ended it.
Okay, now,
to stop interrupting, hey, wait a minute, I gave you your chance, and we're going on to another
point. Can I get another point, Shelly?
Okay, I'm going to give you another minute, but that's it. Because
all right.
This is why I am muting you.
I love you to death, Shelly. Well, then, if it's about history, why is the Republican-led state of Florida removing history about Jim Crow, slavery, segregation from school libraries?
Did you read the bill?
I don't know that they're doing that. And,
they are doing that. It's very well documented and recorded.
Karen,
that's what
Karen's
they're doing.
Okay, there's a
lot of hypocrisy.
Wait for the answer. This is why I end up having to mute you, because you don't let anybody answer. And like I said, we are going on to another topic here in just a minute. So I'm just muting you for right now so that Karen can answer. I'm going to read some of the stuff that Sarge put out there in the chat. Then we are going on to the subject of the property rights. John, I see you out there. I will get to you in a couple of minutes, but we got to get some of this property rights stuff in there too. So, Karen, if you want to, please explain what the Florida deal was.
The Florida deal was because it was not the true history. It was very biased and left out too many pieces. So the history was put back in the appropriate context. It was the same thing with the 1619 project, similar idea. It's not the right, it's not a real enactment of history. There were too much opinions in it. An opinion is not history. And the other question regarding the statues, many of these men were not only Confederate generals. They participated in the War of 1912. They were generals. They were strategists. They did other things, and they were remembered for the good things that they did, not just having the war and being a general of the Confederacy. And no matter how hard you try to erase it, it doesn't matter. We had a war. There were Confederates, and there were Union soldiers. They were Americans. They fought each other to eliminate slavery. Now, how sad is that we had to fight each other when we should have been able to come to terms? But this is history, and if we don't learn it, then we're going to repeat it like we could right now. I'd much rather have a conversation than pick up arms and have a duel. And this is what was going on at that time.
Okay, and Sarge had put a comment out there in the chat, because their independence was largely due to the efforts of the GOP freeing the slaves from their demonocrat masters. That's why. And then also, however, what is irksome about the Juneteenth is the formal title, Juneteenth National Independence Day. The concept is liberation, not independence. And the sequitur is the international, I'm having a hard time reading some of this, my eyesight, effort to give the day the same importance as July 4th, which I, Independence Day, totally disagree. It's not, it shouldn't be. And I'm, you know, right now, as we're talking, what are we celebrating this month? We're celebrating transgender homosexuality. I don't think that's a good thing to be celebrating. We're celebrating that for a whole month. We're not celebrating the freeing of the slaves on the Juneteenth thing. We're not celebrating that. We don't celebrate independence for a whole month, but we celebrate transgender homosexuality for a whole month. And there's something just kind of sick here. The whole thing is kind of sick. But anyway, with that being said, where did I left off? If it was appropriate to equate the two, which it is not, the proper day would be the day of the Emancipation Proclamation was issued, not the anniversary of the and secure event, but the more appropriate day is December 6, 1865, when the 13th Amendment was ratified, ending chattel slavery. And so anyway, that, and then, oh God, not the overuse of the word hypocrisy again. So unfortunately, that's what it always comes down to. Instead of taking advantage, facing the fact, it was not the Democrats who freed the slaves. But that's the whole point. It wasn't the Democrats. And when you talk about the Republicans of today, most of them are Democrats. That's why they're called rhinos. Okay. And I think
Sally, may I just add one quick thing? We have to remember the time at that time. There were no telephones.
Yeah.
There were no cell phones. Nobody could text anybody anything. Nobody even had a pager. So by the time news traveled throughout this vast country, it took 2 years, and when the news finally got to Galveston, that was the last place in the United States that received the news that the war was over and the slaves were free. And there goes Juneteenth.
Yep, and Sarge, I think I see you out there, but I'm going to hold on for just a minute because I want Karen to start to get on. We're running kind of run out of time to talk about this property rights stuff here. So, and we can continue this discussion afterwards if there's time. But Karen, please let people understand what's going on with property rights here in Florida, and what the role that DeSantis plays in it. And Cindy, you can chime in as needed on this one. I know you probably have a few thoughts on it too. But Karen.
Oh yes. Okay. Well, we had several bills that passed in Florida this year, and some people thought, "Wow, they are wonderful, aren't they?" A couple of them were, but like everything else that comes from the government, it comes with strings attached. And if you're not aware of the strings, you will step right into the quicksand, and that will be the end of you. So what has happened is, as Ed explained before, when bills got from the House to the Senate, Pastor Domo, the rhino, made a lot of changes, and we did not get what we started out to get. The thing that I focused on, aside from education, was what's going on with the land. Because when I heard the WEF, the World Economic Forum, say that you will own nothing and be happy, I realized that this is not going to stop in Europe. This is going to travel. And what are they talking about and what do they really mean? Well, if you listen to any of Cindy's discussions, you will realize, Ed, that on the peninsula, part of Florida, they are building high-rise complexes on almost every postage stamp. Now, for those of us that remember Agenda 21, there was a map that Kukowski drew with Agenda 21. And he pinpointed in the state of Florida through black dots, the concentration of where the people will live. And we noticed when he did that, that the center of the state was almost gutted. And there was a corridor moving up from the center of the state up the peninsula. And if you connected it, you began to connect it to other wildlife trails like Appalachian Trail and through the Blue Ridge Mountains and things like that. And this went straight up, and what we noticed was that no people could live there. This was not for people. So we figured, oh, well, we live in the free state of Florida, so isn't that wonderful? And nothing will happen to us. Wrong answer. Florida passed HB, that's House Bill, 627. And I just have to read you the first sentence so that you know where this is coming from. It says, this is about housing, removes the authority of local governments to adopt or maintain laws, ordinances, rules, or other measures that would have the effect of imposing controls on rent, specified requirements, and restriction on counties in approving housing development. What does it do? It removes the authority of your local government to have a say and providing affordable housing. Now you would think Governor DeSantis would never sign that. That's kind of anti-Floridian. You're going to take away my land because a developer says I want to put an apartment building over there? Well, guess what? Governor DeSantis signed it. And why did he sign it? Because, as Ed pointed out before, the lobbyists and the donors control Governor DeSantis. And many of his donors, as Ed mentioned, are called developers. So, now, oh, this can't happen in Florida, you will say. Well, how many of you thought it could happen in South Dakota? Christine Ohm refused to sign a bill that would push eminent domain on 80 families in South Dakota so that the developer could put up a compo are going to lose their property through eminent domain. That is the trick that's going to be used. And this is the statute that we have to be aware of. So if you are not in Jackson County, and that's why I'm saying Jackson County because I checked, make sure your comprehensive plan has a section that says property rights and that your county protects your property rights. Because if it's not in your county comprehensive plan, when the developer says, I want that piece of land, and you go, no, I don't want to sell it. I don't want to give it to you. And he says, well, we'll go to court, and I'll take you to out of the state. Well, you'd be in violation of this bill if you, and you have no leg to stand on if your county does not protect your property rights. So that is a big, heavy, duty one to look at. Now, when you go back and look at Dr. Kaufman's map, we say, my gosh, the state of Florida is already flooded. Look at this big section in the middle where they're the Everglades project. Well, guess what? This year, the legislature and Governor DeSantis gave the environmental protection running the requiring the Department of Environmental Protection and Water Management District to conduct a holistic review of certain permitting processes and programs, revising the required proponents of local government comprehensive plans, capital improvements and elements regarding sewer, solid waste, blah, 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 blah. So what are they doing? They are now going to have the Department of Environmental Protection coming around, new elected bureaucrat coming around to each county and telling the county what they can do with their water, land, et cetera. So we are going to have a big situation. One of the groups that is very prime on this is up in the Panhandle. Oh, by the way, that was the Environmental Protection Act, and that was SB 1623 passed this year. And by the way, in the state of Florida, as in other states, if the bill ends in an odd number, then it's a House bill. It started its generation in the House. If it ends in an even number, then it ends and it has started its generation in the Senate. So that tells you where you can look for it. We are giving, I think it was, $500 million additional dollars to Florida Forever to purchase more land to put in conservation. Florida Forever already owns one-third of the state of Florida. So between the state and groups like this, how much land is owned by Floridians? That is the question. And who? The Florida legislature, I believe, crashed the bill that said no foreign interest can purchase land in Florida. I don't think that bill passed, but that's one we would have to work on again. I did not check that one. In any event, I wanted to share something with you because what they are attempting to do is put us in what they call 15-minute cities. means that, take that high rise, your work will probably be on the bottom floor. Your offices may be on the middle floor, and you will live on the upper floor. So where do you have to go? Downstairs. Guess what you won't need? Well, according to Zero Hedge, that's what it was, the World Economic Forum wants 75% less private car owners by 2050. Now, they are giving us some stupid nonsense about fossil fuel, but they're not going to regulate gas cars out of business. What they're going to do is just make the gas so expensive and make the requirements so stringent that the cars will be out of sight for anyone other than themselves, because they are much more efficient. And besides, they want you in an electric vehicle so they can control it. Oh, Karen, you're crazy. They're not going to do that. Oh, really? Let's see how that works. Yes. Well, the other day, a gentleman, this is according to Breitbart, the other day, a gentleman opened the door and had an interaction with a FedEx driver. And when he left, unbeknownst to the owner of the house where the package was delivered, the FedEx driver, for some reason, went to his bosses and said that the man at this address was racist, and he went into a racist rant and had an argument with me. Well, the man lived in a smart house. So guess what Jeff Bezos' company did? They shut off all of his appliances and all of his electronic features, because that's what a smart house does. How many of you remember when we screamed and yelled and said, no smart meters, no smart meters? Well, this is why we said no smart meters. So they are coming after us. They are coming after our land. They recognize that ownership of private property, which doesn't just mean land, your business, your car, your house, whatever, doesn't belong to you like your children. It must belong to the state. And since it belongs to the state, and the state is on the DIE principle, the diversity and equity and inclusion demand that everybody live in the same type of structure. If we look back at Agenda 21, they recommended 700 square feet. When they start coming into your community and telling you, oh, we want that piece of land, what are you going to do about it? And this is our fault again for not paying attention. I brought these bills to my county commissioners, and I asked them, where were you when these bills were passed? I got no answer. They said, oh, we weren't paying attention. No, you weren't.
They didn't even know about it. They were clueless.
They were absolutely clueless. So this is very sad, but it's happening all over. They are making it legal by making these ridiculous bills. And I did say that the housing bill was 627, so you can look that one up. It is a disgrace. And it virtually says, if you're not a good, you know, if you're not a good person, we'll not only take away your digital currency, your card won't work, but you won't be able to go anyplace either. So you have to behave, otherwise the thought police will come after. This is your
Karen, I want to make people got to understand the communist takeover is here. This is communism. Call it what it is, communism. Everything owned in common and full control over the serfs. We have been converted into a bunch of serfs. And that's what this really is about. And people need to appreciate that. And you know what? If you happen to be a Ron DeSantis fan out there, and you're happy to see him running for the presidency and all this other stuff, are you going to ask him about this? Because this is communism. And he was part of it. He signed on to this garbage. He could have rejected this stuff. But, you know, you better go back and look at some of his donors and look how invested they are in the real estate and development kind of stuff. It's really disgusting.
It is. We were all over him. We were yelling, please don't veto the bill, veto the bill. You know, what started out to be a good bill turned out to be a bad bill, and that's what often happens when it goes from house to house, especially if you have a rhino who is the president of the Senate. And Pasadomo is, I remember about maybe 20 years ago when she was first a senator, and we went to one of their education meetings, and she was talking to, I think it was Bill Arrakis, and they maybe didn't realize that their microphones were on, but one of them said, oh, the Constitution, you don't have to pay attention to that. Nobody does. And the other one says, oh, yeah, you're right. So who cares? This is our leaders. This is who these people are. They do not have our best interests at heart. They could care less. They hate us because we are taking from them. Every morsel that you put in your mouth is a morsel that they could be putting in their mouth, and they'd much rather have it for themselves. So they will never be affected by the legislation that they make because they are exempt from everything, and besides, they have so much money that it doesn't make any difference. And this is our problem. If we could take money out of what we were doing, if we could take money out of elections, if we could take money out of the hands of the lobbyists and the cartels, then we will have a fighting chance, unless we are the ones that take the money out. And that's what they are afraid of. So, Sally, guess what? Boycotts work. That's up to us. Did you see Dodger Stadium? Did you see the crowd that was there? That was a pleasure to see.
It was, and it's the little things like that that give you, at least give me, faith and some hope that people truly are waking up and realizing that they're being enslaved. I think it's an interesting thing to talk about on a day like today. We're all being enslaved. They're allowing these illegals to come in and take over while they are taking away our rights, the right to own property. It's proven over and over again what they have done to contaminate the water, which I'll be talking about that some next week, too, the unrestricted wars, and they're going to force public water on you. They're not going to even let you have a well. I mean, you're not going to be able to drive. You're going to have a 700-square-foot place to live, to habitate in, and this is what they're doing. This is the sickness of it, while the Democrats are definitely the leaders of it, we have a massive uniparty called a Republican Party. It's really a uniparty that has been taken over by most of the Democrats, too. So anybody that thinks I like Republicans, you're barking up the wrong tree on that one. I can't stand them either because most of them, even the ones that say they're good, you got a small handful that are truly, truly out there. Roy Chip is a great guy out there. I'll never understand why he's supporting Ron DeSantis, and I am going to call his office and say, do you understand what you're really supporting? And, you know, somebody should be talking to the Trump campaign. I'm sure they already know all this stuff. Maybe they've got it planned out there when they're going to start talking about it. But they don't have to call the sanctimonious or whatever. They don't need to call DeSantis, DeSantis, whatever. They don't need to call him names. They need to say DeSantis is a pro-communist, too. Look at what he's doing. These are communist actions that DeSantis signed his name to. They don't have to call him names. Say, wait a minute, what? Florida's supposed to be the freedom state. How is this free? So I wish Trump would be, his team would be saying that stuff out there. He would be calling out what DeSantis is doing, what he signed on to, versus the other garbage. With that being said, let me see John, if you're still there and if you wanted to chime in. We were talking the election stuff earlier, but we were talking about the property, and you're a Floridian. John, are you still there?
I'm listening, yes.
Yep. Anything you wanted to comment on as far as Florida property laws? There's a couple other people. I see Sarge and Nathan out there. So if you had anything you wanted to chime in on, you're welcome to, or I will go on to the couple other callers.
Well, how am I being screwed on that lately? property laws? What are they fixing to do to us?
Take away our
Basically give the property rights to the developers so that the developers can go and claim eminent domain if they want your property.
Okay. If it's unowned property and the developers want it, they have a right to have it. Is that it?
No, if they have, let's say you have a piece of property and the developer wants to put a apartment complex and they need your property to make it a certain acreage and you don't want to sell it, you could be forced to sell it.
Well, if it's inappropriate, like if it's in a residential housing location and they want to put a multifamily apartment, that's always a problem for a lot of homeowners.
Exactly. So why would you want to give your property to them or be forced to sell it to them when you like your property the way it is and it looks fine and suits your purpose? It's your property.
And we don't want multifamily mixed in with our houses.
Yes.
Yeah, and I'm going to tell you real quick here. Just based on what I know of Orange County, since I did live there for a very long time, and their AMA stuff and everything they have tried to do on this stuff, I highly doubt that Orange County is going to protect your property rights. So if that developer comes in and he says, "Well, this would be the perfect place to build a apartment, condo, whatever, for 1,000 people." And they want to buy up those houses and tear them down and put the condos in. Basically, they'd be able to do that because we have given the rights of eminent domain has been given over to the developers. And we have good old Ron DeSantis to thank in addition to a bunch of Republicans. So that's what it really means. Everybody's like, "Oh, they won't do that." Well, yeah, they will. I mean, would you trust anybody in Orange County? Any Orange County government, John? I wouldn't.
Well, there's a lot of apartments going up in dubious locations all over Orange County.
It's already
new apartments, huge developments everywhere, and of course,
and it's going to get worse with this law. It's going to get worse. Yeah, go ahead, Karen.
I was just going to say now. Think of the traffic. Think of the schools, think of the supermarkets, think of the lines that you're going to be standing on now, because they not only are developing on every postage stamp, but they're also maximizing the population by building up in areas that were zoned for single-family housing. They don't have a right Now they have a right to come to your county and say, "Single-family housing, we're going to outlaw single-family housing. We don't want single-family housing. We want quads, or we want sixplexes, or something like that." And you have no say. And then
it's all to save the climate. They'll tie it into saving the climate somehow. And this is Republicans, too, so that's the other part. Ron DeSantis is part of this.
Right. And what did we learn during the pandemic? Where was the worst place to live? Was on top of somebody in a crowded complex. You have more of a chance of escaping the problem if you had more space between you and the other people. And here they're saying, get in the elevator with somebody coughing and sneezing. It's okay. Well, it is as long as I build it.
Exactly. It's just amazing how these things change. Okay, John, I'm going to...
Aren't they also trading conservation areas and wetlands? You can't build on that wetland, but my developer friend can.
Well, exactly. That was the ordeal we had in Orange County again. Conservation area that they wouldn't let the people, the property that had been in three generations there, ranching, they weren't allowed to do anything with their own land there, but yet the Expressway Authority was going to be able to go right through that conservation area and put a toll road through there. It's the hypocrisy. If Brother Warren wants to talk about hypocrisy. Let's talk about those people in public office, because they do definitely say one thing and do another. John, I'm going to put you back on hold for a minute and then let Sarge, and then I got Nathan out here too. But thank you, and please check into it with what's going on in Orange County. In your area, I doubt seriously anything's going to happen anytime soon as far as where you live, because I'm familiar with where John lives. The that probably is probably relatively safe, but anything else, if you think you see apartments now, you're going to be seeing a lot more.
That's what I thought too.
Yep.
I kind of thought I was in a safe area.
Yep, for right now.
Well, that's good news anyway.
Yeah, five or 10 years down the road, I don't know what to tell you on that one. But yeah, it'll be one of the last areas to get hit by this mess for what they're doing. It's just disgusting. So. Okay, let me go ahead and let Sarge get in here. I know Sarge has been waiting. I think this is Sarge. Sarge, is that you?
Yes, ma'am. I have been waiting, but I've heard a lot of good things while I've been waiting, and it helped me to expand my thoughts. And since you were having a little trouble reading my statement because of your eyesight, mine is 20/20, so I'll be happy to read it. What I wrote was is that what's
just a quick comment on that. Just so everybody knows. I work on different computers, and I have different glasses.
Yeah, that's okay, Sally. I'm here to take up your slack. Don't worry. What's irksome about Juneteenth is its formal title, Juneteenth National Independence Day. The concept should be liberation, not independence. This non sequitur is an intentional effort to give the day the same weight and importance as July 4th, Independence Day. Now, if it were appropriate to attempt to equate the two, which it is not, the proper day would be the day of Emancipation Proclamation was issued, not the anniversary of this relatively obscure event, but actually the more appropriate day for a holiday is 6 December 1865, when the 13th Amendment was ratified that ended chattel slavery. But here's the thing we got to remember, and I kind of summed up, I made a lot of comments, but I kind of summed it up with this. 2000, when the first noisy drive to remove Confederate statues, ban the Confederate States flag, particularly the battle flag, you know, the Confederate battle flag, I said to all the happy Yankee bloody shirt wavers that used to be pretty numerous, and they called themselves conservatives, and I said, although a lot of them now, they're not as numerous as they used to be because they didn't got hip to the Marxist grift, that any movement that starts with expunging Robert E. Lee from the national experience will end up removing Washington and Lincoln or Teddy Roosevelt like they did from the Art Institute in New York. There's now a movement to remove Lincoln's portrait from the Minnesota House of Representatives chamber. And I have a private school principal friend who knows, is an educator up in Chicago, and he's talking about a pretty strong movement in many of the educator circles to have a new multicolor flag and a new non-racist, non-militaristic national anthem. Why do I say all this? Because leftists always start out with a lodgment. Just let them get a little lodgment. Let them get their foot in the door, get their nose under the tent. Then they expand it to a beachhead, and then when they get the beachhead set up, they fan out from there, and they spread the virus of their poisonous doctrines as far and wide as they can. This is the way they operate. They've done it every time. They've done it in every major movement that we said, how in the hell did this happen? They do it starting out slowly and subtly. Like, you know, with the homosexual movement, they said, all we want to do is not be free from police raids. We don't want to be bothered. We want to be left alone, do what we want to do in private zone. Just get rid of the sodomy laws. And now, lo and behold, we've got homosexual marriage instituted in 50 states of the union, and we've got a whole month dedicated to homosexual celebration when we only got one day for the honored war dead of this country in its nation wars. I'm sick of this, and I'm going to call that out every damn time I see it.
No argument from me. I think the whole thing is just disgusting. The things that we worry about celebrating and how we totally ignore and trash the veterans, we trash our own independence, our own Declaration of Independence, and all. But yet you don't dare say a thing against all this insanity about the drag queens and the homosexuality and the perverted stuff with the transgendering. Which next week, when we talk about that, I'm going to be talking about some of the conversation I've been hearing just lately when it comes to vaccines, autism and transgender. It's what they have been doing to our children. It's disgusting, but it's a sick situation. Absolutely,
it is almost incomprehensible the frightening speed to which this is accelerating. It's like a COVID on steroids, intellectually.
Yeah.
The way this thing is accelerating is almost funny, man. It's like somebody's accelerated in a particle accelerator at a light speed. It's almost beyond belief the way it happened. And then you're not allowed into science in many quarters.
Yeah. It's disgusting. Absolutely. It really is. It's a sad state of affairs. So, but and hold that thought and don't go anywhere. Let me go ahead and get Nathan on here. Nathan may have a comment on this property thing here in Florida as well.
Yeah, I'm hearing people talk about a law that the DeSantis is going to do to stop these people from buying up land. He can't do that because George H. Bush wrote a law, an executive order called 12803. That allows other countries to come in and buy our country, buy up property, even courthouses and highways, and you probably don't even know if the roads you drive on every day, which country owns them, and all the money goes through the government back to them. Here's the thing: we can talk about voting for the lesser of the two evils on two Republicans, but the truth is, they're not living by the rules. Even if we sit the election out, they still will decide who's going to stay in office on the people that are registered Republicans and Democrats. We're not living by the Constitution. But Mr. Tolbert sent something out, and my computer's running really slow. But it's tied on how much farmland does China own. Really own more than Bill Gates, but less than 17 other countries combined. That's just one. You know. So when they decide they want to make apartment complex where you live, they're going to come and just crush all those houses, level it out, and do what they want to do. They're not going to ask you about it. They're going to say, "Look, here's."
Yeah.
Here's how much we're going to give you for it, and they're not going to negotiate. You know, if you spend your life savings trying to fight it in court, they're still going to win.
Okay, and I got to comment one thing on that executive order from Daddy Bush out there, George H.W., because I was reading up on that too. You know, you had sent that out, the privatization of infrastructure. And there's no restrictions on who can buy it. Any private entity can go out there and buy it. That's why they were a massive when it came with the toll roads, which I knew way back when the private entities were owning them. The only reason a private entity would buy infrastructure like that is because they think they can make money off it. And, of course, the way they make the money is putting the tolls on them. So that's all part of the scam. Hold on, Nathan. When it comes to the executive orders, this is where we have, once again, a Congress that is totally useless, that doesn't know anything about the Constitution. Executive orders are not to make law. They are to enforce law. Right now, executive orders have created dictators. And there was some guy got fired from Fox News when he put something about dictator wannabe or something like that under Biden just recently. But that's what happens. The executive orders end up making these presidents dictators. We have this thing called a Congress, and they're supposed to pass bills and laws. They're supposed to do that. They're supposed to manage the money. And look what they do. It's the biggest – anybody wants to talk hypocrisy, go look at that, because it's really it's both parties. I mean, it's the Republicans and the Democrats. Why haven't they gone out there, just like the Patriot Act, which I am trying to find out when the Patriot Act is supposed to be coming up for renewal, why would these people who believe in the Constitution take an oath to hold up the Constitution, not do anything to get rid of that Patriot Act, which is a big part of the problems we have today. Nobody wants to talk about that one, too. But to shut down these crazy executive orders, because he has no right to sell off these are public assets. But he's a dictator. President, we don't have presidents now. We have dictators, and people need to start saying that. Dictator Biden. He's not president. He's dictator. Because we don't have a Congress that does anything. So, anyway, I didn't mean to cut you off there, Nathan, but
okay.
I had to get that in.
Okay, but listen, on the Patriot Act, if you go back to that, that was 2010. Okay, the PT party, they were running on that, and there was a big debate, and I remember hearing somebody say, I would rather, I forgot who it was in a one of them shows, said, I would rather George Bush spying on me than Hillary, okay? You know, he's making his point, but here's the thing. That Patriot Act was 98 for it. It was one Democrat that said no, and there was one Republican that was a no party, president not voting. Okay, but
yeah,
now,
president
listen,
not voting.
This
yeah.
This is where I fell off. I was all going. I thought Colonel Alan West was a rock star running for president. I mean for Congress, but I lost him. I lost him completely whenever he ran up there. And he voted for the Patriot Act. And then when he came back to a Tea Party town hall meeting, some guy asked him, you said, because this is what he said. He said, when I go up there, we're going to make a rule that we have to wait 3 days to read the bill. They waited less than 3 minutes. They didn't have enough time to read this bill before it came up and they voted for it. This is in front of them, and nobody, not even their staff members, read it, and they voted for it. And this citizen asked him, "You said you would do 3 days to to vote on a bill, and y'all didn't wait." And he said, "You are just like the rest of the politicians up there." And he said, "Listen." This is what he said, Congressman West. He said, listen, I'll tell you this. I am not perfect. There's only one man that was perfect, and that was Jesus Christ. But I will put my vote record up to any politician in Washington, D.C. Guess what, Colonel, Congressman, you're still a liar. And just because you have not as much corruption in your voting history as they do, you still are wrong. He is wrong. And at that point, I was never for him again. I wouldn't do anything. I sent him that book by Dr. John McTernan, As America Has Done to Israel. And if he reads that, it would give him a picture of what we need to do in Congress to basically stop the judgment of God on us. You know, and you know what? Never heard that he ran. I talked to his staff members a couple of times. Well, all they could guarantee is he got it. Well, I hope at some point he reads it so he can see what his being a part of the team did to America. This ain't good, funny stuff. But that on that property, we gotta read. I wish everybody listening to me would go read Executive Order 12803 and look at what George H. Bush did. With the stroke of his pen, he gave our sovereignty to other nations out there, and they can buy. Back in 2006, people were screaming, burning up the phones, because there was in the news that Dubai is coming over here to manage our ports, and we were ringing the phones. But you know, I'm like, no, they're not coming over here to manage our ports, because we were thinking these are American jobs. No. They own them. That's why they're coming over here. They already bought them. So when you go to Cape Canaveral, don't think this is an American territory here. No, it ain't. You know, and then like your friend on the show early on tonight, we got to clean up the Republican Party. You can't show me one Republican Party up there that is saying what we're saying. He's not even going to get in the conversation with us. He's going to get up there with that wall, that media wall, talking to us, and his people are going to come up saying, man, look, we got to beat him because look at this Democrat. You know, I don't care if the Democrat wins. I don't care because I can look at their vote record, and there is no difference. There is no difference other than this guy over here celebrates how he votes, and this guy's over here telling me how he's talking to my heart, talking about what I want to hear, and I can't do it. And he's talk show hosts out here. They're a part of it, you know. So you know, I can say apart from something, and I see the people. Like I said, go through the county supervisor of elections and look at how many Republicans and Democrats and no party affiliates, and then the other little minor parties. And in a lot of these counties, the Republicans are outnumbered by no party affiliates by anywhere from 60, 70, 80, 100,000 people. You know, they're not the people. The people,
yeah.
There's some people out there getting the real news. They're getting the real news from the record. I wish people would read that. And ask some of these Republican talk show hosts, why don't you talk about this? Read Article 6 of the Constitution and ask me why did George Bush not get tried for treason and either face a firing squad or go into prison for the rest of his life? And then let me hear of any Republicans that didn't jump up and say no, this ain't right. And then we got to vote for these Republicans to save us from the Democrats. I'm going to hang up and keep listening.
Okay, well, don't hang up too much, because right now we're at 3 minutes. After 3 minutes, it'll be cut off the regular air. So if you're going to listen, I can definitely mute you so you can continue to listen. But if you're not, which is let everybody else know, we're gonna run over a few minutes here. I don't know, maybe 15 minutes. To give Karen some more time to review on the stuff on there, and also to get Joe Gibson some time to chime in here. But after that, you won't be able to hear it on the regular internet. So with that being said, and of course, thank you, Nathan. I hope he calls. If he did drop off, if he doesn't call back in, he's not going to hear the ending here. Okay, let's go. Joe, and then I get back to Cindy. Cindy, I see you out there now. Let me go ahead and get Joe. At least I think that's Joe.
All righty. Can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you.
Can you hear me? Okay. All right, just a little history here. I Sarge is here. He's an expert in history, but I was wondering if he knew this. The missing 13th Amendment, it's called. In the winter of 1983, archive research expert David Dodge and former Baltimore police investigator Tom Dunn were searching for evidence of government corruption in public records stored in the Belfast Library on the coast of Maine. By chance, they discovered the library's oldest authentic copy of the Constitution of the United States, printed in 1825. Both men were stunned to see the document included a 13th Amendment that no longer appears on the current copies of the Constitution. Moreover, after studying the amendment's language and historical context, they realized that the principal intent of this missing 13th Amendment was to prohibit lawyers from serving in government. So began a seven-year nationwide search for the truth surrounding the most bizarre constitutional puzzle in American history, the unlawful removal of a ratified amendment from the Constitution of the United States. So what do you think about that, Sarge? Or anybody?
Well, I can tell you what I think about it. Because I've done shows on that in the past, and it was ratified.
Okay.
Almost everybody that was in Congress even back then were attorneys, and they saw that they didn't want the attorneys out there. It was supposed to be citizen representation, not a bunch of attorneys. And so, literally, I've done a couple of shows on the past, and it's really
Ratified in 1819. Yeah, it was ratified in 1819.
Yeah. And then they buried it. I'm trying to remember the history of how they lost it somewhere along the way and tried to say it was never fully ratified when it really was, kind of thing. So it was totally disgusting. And there's been corruption ever since day one. We've got to face that fact. There's been corruption, not to the extent, I think, of what we see today. The technology has made it easier. It's the unrestricted warfare kind of thing. But it's true. And
well, the point being, though,
Sally, we need to get it fixed.
Well, the point being is the founders held an intense disdain and distrust of nobility, and they couldn't stand it,
Exactly.
Well, you know.
Exactly.
You know. Here's the thing. Here's the thing. Back in that day, we the people were not me and you. It wasn't the peasants, the farmers. It was the people that were equipped. They had the education, the experience in life, and they founded this. But as it went, And I would agree with them. You look at most of us down here, I wouldn't want most of us running for office. We'd really be in trouble. So we got to protect ourselves, what we fought for, what we sacrificed for, and not make it too easy. And again, that's why we've had generation after generation of hurt, because someone didn't get everything that was guaranteed to them in the Constitution. And now we're at a point whenever you point out that there's no political parties in the Constitution, like your guest earlier, it's like, well, you know, there's no other way. We got to get the Republicans in. But he won't hear. We got 100-0 vote. I can bring up so many 100-0 or close to that vote but we don't, the news don't report it. They're a part of it. And our FBI, which it sounds like we need an FBI, but they've become a part of a propaganda and management system for the last few generations. So, you know, they're not doing what they're supposed to do. They shake people down rather than investigate the bad guy, you know. And so America's pretty much over, apart from the grace of God, you know.
It's been over ever since the Civil War. We lost our Constitution. We no longer have an organic Constitution. We have a District of Columbia, which is a corporation.
And that's why, like, I'm gonna say this again, and I hope we get to hear him someday again. Bruce Ray Riggs, DirtyUncleSam.com. I can send him an email or a phone number or whatever you need, He has actual documents and histories when he talks about it, and it's not something somebody wrote in a book or on a website. He can show it to you because he got copies.
In a corporation,
of it,
it's very simple. It's common sense. In a corporation, for instance, Walmart's a corporation. What Walmart does in aisle 9 does not affect you, right? I mean, so it's just like the District of Columbia. It should not, you know, we are no part of it. You know, it's a corporation. Everyone says constitutional rights. You have no play. You have no say-so because really you're a corporate citizen. You're a 14th Amendment slave. Look at the definition in Black's Law Dictionary of citizen and person. There's two. Look at those two definitions and then look at the 14th Amendment and see what you are. Okay? It'll blow your mind.
Yeah.
And in law, wording is very, very important.
Definitely. Well, that's why they didn't want the lawyers in there.
I remember in 2010, what did we hear these people on the stage? I heard this lady here locally, can't remember her name, that called in the Bud Hedinger show. And she was frustrated driving to work because of all this stuff with the Republicans. And then the next guy calls in and says, hey, I'm in the entertainment business. I can help her out with a stage and equipment for, you know. And next thing you know, these two people got together, this housewife and this guy that works for Disney and other companies, and they're putting together a stage in the park, and a bunch of people are having a Tea Party movement. And then one of the messages we kept hearing, No more politicians, no more lawyers. And then all of a sudden, this Tea Party Express, the Tea Party Preachers bus rolls into town, and they're on the stage.
Well, the health care distracted it. The healthcare. Obamacare destroyed that because everybody got distracted with the health care, you know, and that destroyed that Tea Party movement.
Well, the Republicans just
got elected to stop it.
It was Mitch McConnell who swore he was going to take down the Tea Party. I mean, that was his goal while the Republicans supported him. Hold on real quick, Cindy. Cindy's been waiting to get back in here. Cindy, you there?
Oh, yeah, I'm here. So I'm going to get some facts out here first. Number one, there's a lot of grifters. The grifters started in the Tea Party, and I would agree with Amy Kramer. Amy Kramer, you know, unfortunately, like a lot of others, are for the money.
But the Republicans, they smoothed that over. Instead of being in the news, they moved her over to Tea Party.
It's not about the Republicans.
Hold on, Nathan.
It's about the Tea Party. Let me finish. I know these people. I started the Tea Party. I started the 912. I can tell you who the grifters are. She's one of them. I don't give a rat's ass about the Republican Party because I'm going to tell you what we did. We got everybody on the executive committee. And I sat on there before the Tea Party, and I was very active, and I voted for Ron Paul, and I was not.
I did too.
I was not a Republican, okay? And I can tell you, we are the only one in Florida that wrote the conservative platform for a reason. So they would vet the candidates, candidate relations in a primary. They would take out the conservative platform. They would read it out and get them to sign the planks. They did not do it because we have the Uniparty. That's what's going on. Billy Schlafly didn't call them globalists. She called them kingmakers. Read Barry Goldwater's book. Go back way back when. I have every book
yep.
that was ever written. What we have now, you know, this is a mission continued. The mission continued now is now MAGA. Now, what is that? That's a combination of a whole bunch of people and a whole bunch of different activist groups that came around now and piled onto Trump. And unfortunately, Trump didn't know until he got there how bad it was, and it's horrible in Washington. But I'll tell you some things that you don't know. Here's some things you don't know. The pressure up there is so tremendous. When you get up there, I'll give you an example. Tom Rooney ran for office. He got up there, and one day he calls me, and he says, I left a message with him, and he calls me. He says, yeah, well, I've just got some new staffers. I said, so who are they? Oh, they came from the guy from Pennsylvania, who's dead now, who is one of the worst. I said, listen, you can't have those staffers. You need to go down the hallway and go to Peter King, I can't think of his last name, from Iowa, who they took out, by the way. They took him out. He was a congressman for a long time, a good guy, one of us. Go down there and ask him who you should have for staffers. So what went on? So then you had Jim DeMint. Jim DeMint really tried really hard. He left. He started. He went to the Heritage Foundation. He got fired. Because he started Heritage Action and he started to clean up the rhinos in the Heritage Action, in the Heritage Foundation. He now runs an institute now that actually takes young people that go to Liberty University or Regency University or one of those, and they try to get those people to train them to be staffers. Because Washington is filled with progressives. I read Trump's 47 agenda today, okay? And then I read a whole article about, that very in-depth, about the policies. And one of the things that they're going to do is clean house, and they have to. And there are ways they can do it. And when people say, oh, you can't fire anybody in the federal government, it's a bunch of bullshit. So I think it's completely, to be honest with you, I don't know if we're going to make it to the election. I can tell you that in August they're going to be hiring. The Trump team is hiring people, and they're all climbing over one another to get the job because they're all looking for money. Okay?
Yep. We need to get Sarge on there. We need to get
Sarge. And that's like here in North Carolina. That's what my goal here is in North Carolina, to clean house here in North Carolina and the local level. Get rid of all these good old boys. Get rid of them.
Okay. Cindy, here's something. Cindy, you're going to forget.
Let me finish. I won't. Politics. I want to tell people this, is an industry. It's a business. We can talk about the Constitution day in, day out, whatever, but you know what doesn't do a damn bit of good? You know what Steve Bannon said today, and I know Steve. He said, I want you to put away the Constitution. It's over. It is. We don't have a constitutional republic anymore. And I'm not going to go around wasting my time bringing in the wall builders and Chris Ann Hall. I mean, what happened to Chris Ann? All these people going around the country, yada, 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 yada. I love them. I agree with them. I grew up in New Jersey. My father was a historian. But we're so down that rabbit hole now. We are so down.
Yeah, but I can't give up the fight.
In 10 days, we're going to lose our dollar. Okay? Bad things are coming. I pray that it doesn't. And let me tell you something. There's nobody that's going to come and save us. And some people in Washington are scared.
We shouldn't expect somebody to save us. We shouldn't expect that. We should be looking at ourselves. We all need to do it.
We're the people. We're not going
to
save ourselves. It's not a matter. We have no power anymore.
No, you're right. We have to put God first.
Well, God is first, but we don't have any power. I'm just telling you, we have no power. On the local level, I can tell you in Martin County, people are out shopping and going out to dinner and getting on.
Yeah, I know. I agree with you 100%. I agree with you 100%.
they're on well, Disney cruises.
Let me chime in, Cindy. Let me chime in real quick here. Mm-hmm. There's one thing. You know, seeing what happened out there in L.A., Dodger Stadium, was actually pretty amazing.
I want to correct you about that. That picture is false. Sally, I want to tell you and Karen. I had this yesterday happen to me. I said, wow, look at that picture, right? I did some, you know what? That's a false picture. That was before
I thought
the people
so, too.
Got there.
I thought so, too.
That's before the people got there. Afterwards, there's a huge crowd. So you need to, I don't mean to be mean, and I'm not trying to be mean, but that's what happened. And they had to correct themselves on Twitter today because they sent it out and put it out on Twitter, and it was false.
I'm not sure about the picture, but I didn't see a picture. I saw a bunch of people saying, stop hating the Catholics.
No, that was good, but the picture, they showed an empty stadium. No, what happened was, they did all of that.
That was in
through,
the beginning.
You know,
that one there. Yeah, I know. Now I know what you're talking about there. There was something about 56,000. The stadium holds something like 56,000, and it looked like 41,000 were the ones that actually showed up. It looked like there were some didn't show up. But you're right, the empty stadium was a misleading correction.
Right. So on Twitter, it had to be rectified. Just like this Rassamani or the one that's running for the presidential. Somebody put the meme up that, oh, you know, he graduated from the World Economic Forum. No, he didn't. I went in to the World Economic Forum. I looked at every year, 21, all the way back. No, but Marie Bartiromo did. She graduated from the World Economic Forum. So did Peter Thiel. Matter of fact, you go in there and look, you will be shocked at all the people that graduated from the World Economic Forum. So, but Vivek or Rassamani, he did not. He did not.
Okay. Well, anyway,
so,
the point I was trying to make, real quick, sorry, Cindy. The point I was trying to make right now, I mean, there are people actually starting to use the word revolution out there, which obviously can mean an awful lot of things and what it can truly mean. But I think when you see people going to the streets in Los Angeles in front of Dodger Stadium, to me, that is very telling. When you get those people actually out there in the streets fighting, complaining about what they're doing, it's something. And you got the guy that's out there telling somebody in the
we have to lose everything, Sally. We got to lose everything.
Hold on a second. Let me finish one statement. Please let me finish a statement, okay? And then I'll give it back to you. It's a state representative or something who's literally telling the parents, get your kids out of California because California is passing a law that if you don't transgender your kid, they'll take the kid away from you. Okay, well, that being said, go ahead, Cindy.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, I was going to say that the reason there were so many people there is because the Catholics in that parish there, it's one of the parishes there, it's disgusting, okay? The Catholics rose up just like they did with the pro-life. When you see all those pro-life people marching in Washington, they were mostly Catholics, okay? So the call was, where was the evangelicals and the Baptists and everybody else? Because this has nothing to do with Catholic or Protestant. Everybody, all the churches should be out. And they still have to start joining. And if anybody wants to really look and see what's happening with inside of the Catholic Church, and I'm a Catholic, it's disgraceful. When Malachi Martin told us this years and years ago, that you go to Taylor Marshall, he was thinking about running for president. You can go to Michael Matt. He has the Remnant, the oldest newspaper. They are taking out the Pope and everyone. I mean, they are talking about Agenda 2030, the reset. They understand it. And as far as the transgender movement is concerned, and I agree 100%, and I know it's coming, they're going to normalize pedophilia. It's coming. And I'm going to give it back to you. Mel Gibson is doing the documentary on it, and he's going to blow the lid off of it. And when that movie comes out with Tim Ballard, which is in July, that's going to blow the lid off of it. And just to let you know, Tucker said about Obama, about being gay, and then Jason Whitlock did a show and had those women who, one is the chairman of the Obama Foundation, somebody else, and he says, Obama, why didn't you get rid of them? We know that these are the people that gave birth to your daughters. He said it. So it's coming. It's coming. But it's dangerous now. It's so dangerous because we have no power, and it doesn't even matter anymore.
Sally?
Yeah.
Sally, how much longer you got the show, Sally?
Yeah, well, we can go on for another 15 minutes. I mean, technically, I've got until 10 o'clock, but I had some other things I had to take care of.
Okay, well, I was wondering if you could do a favor for me, Sally.
Yes.
Yeah, would you please condemn me and my actions and thoughts publicly, loudly here? Because Warren is accusing me of trying to threatening his life, and he's getting all prissy, and he's getting ready to pull his panties up in a bunch. So I want you to go on the record and loudly and forthrightly condemn me in my speech for Warren's fantasy about me threatening to kill him.
I pray
you. I appreciate if you do it.
Okay.
He's threatening to go to the FBI, the DIJ, or the KGB, or some damn body about it.
Well,
so maybe
they
ought
to do that.
Well,
you should know better.
Just make sure this stays between me and him. I don't want anybody
involved but
me and him.
For the record, I'm seeing some of this. I've been flipping back and forth between the chat and the episode information. I see what he's out there. Now, I do not accept or promote or support any kind of threatening of anybody and all this other kind of stuff. So, you know, Sarge, please don't be threatening people out there. I can't do that. I can't be responsible for you threatening something to Brother Warren out there and that type of thing. So please do not say that kind of stuff
that
out there.
That's true. You are absolutely correct. And just for the record, I did not threaten to kill him, nor did I threaten his life. He is indulging in his usual communist fantasies. Read the chat.
Yeah. It's okay for them to do it, though, you know?
Copy and paste.
Oh, it certainly is. They can do it all day long.
And
then the gun will go running to the man. I mean, these guys are real revolutionaries, ain't they? They think they're taking control of the government. They reveal themselves every time they open their mouths.
Copy and paste everything in the chat room and put it in a folder.
Oh, I've done it already. Don't worry about it. I'm prepared to deal with it.
Good.
I did not threaten his life. I'm entitled to my hopes and my dreams. And that's all I said. And he's taking as a threat against life. He can do all he wants. That's fine with me. I just want to make sure this stays between me and him. That's where this fight belongs. Me and him. Nobody else.
Well, I think we can prove that on enough shows. The battle between the two of you. I think in a court of law, there's going to be plenty of history, and Joe's going to be another witness, and the people on the show are going to be a witness. So next week, because of this nonsense, I'll have to shut down the chat room for a couple of weeks because of this kind of silliness. And then hopefully after that we can make sure that we don't have this kind of stuff going out there. Because obviously I'm not out there promoting violence against anybody or any of that kind of stuff. And it's just it's silly that, unfortunately, some stuff gets twisted into.
Have you ever seen my chat room, Sally?
Yes.
Oh,
that's
God.
What I'm saying.
They say
I know.
About him? Oh, for God's sake. I mean, you know, they have no basis whatsoever, and they just saying.
Yeah.
This guy, on the other hand,
he
accused me of being insane and going in an insane asylum. He just said it. That's part of what he said. I'm insane, I'm delusional, and I'm psychopathic and violent. That's what he said about me.
Sally, I'd like to make one announcement, though. July 10th, I'm going to be doing a good show, 7 p.m., with Cindy Prizio from state of Connecticut. She's an activist. She's from... I forgot the name of the organization. One Standard for Justice, I believe it is the name of it. But anyway, July 10th, it's going to be a good show.
Okay, and go ahead and give everybody the show info just so they know.
July 10th, blogtalkradio.com/ Joseph Gibson, Restoring Our Republic, Understanding the Times Today. Tune in.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay,
thank you.
Sandy.
Thank you for that.
Okay, no problem. Cindy, Nathan, you want to say something to Cindy?
Yeah, I was going to say something to Cindy earlier. You know, we're trying to save the Republican Party, and there's more evidence that it ain't who they say they are. On the Jim DeMint thing, I seen him. Sounds like a really nice guy. I seen him on, and this is in the documents, okay, at Hillsdale College. And his issue was the Constitution. So I'm thinking he's going to tell us what's in the Constitution. He sat there for an hour and never once quoted or opened it up and read it. He just talked about stuff in history. And a lot of the stuff he said wasn't something the Constitution would have produced. And then a short while after that, after he left office and went to work for the Heritage Foundation, he wrote a book, and I heard him on the Janet Parshall show, And he's talking about, you know, getting us organized, and it's all about, he goes all the way from back with, you know, his family as a unit, and then when he went in the Army, and he was a part of a squad, and he was a part of a platoon and a company, and he showed, he just showed that teamwork of everybody, and you know what, all that was is get everybody organized, but when I got a question, nobody can answer it. When I ask you, why did you vote this way, it's just complete silence. And I look at the votes they got, and so why would I try to save somebody that keeps beating me down and ignoring me, but then they want my vote and they send me stuff to send them money? Is that an abusive relationship? The Republican Party and the Democrat Party own the political system, and if they say they make an oath to the Constitution, which means they lied.
Yep.
Why would I support these people? Why would I support these people?
No reason. Which those kind of goes back to what Joe was saying. We have a corporation now. We don't really, and they, but they do take an oath to uphold the Constitution. It's kind of interesting that they take an oath to uphold the Constitution. That is actually part of a corporation.
And swear, but if you go to court and raise your hand and swear, and you say something, some little detail doesn't match up, you violated that, and. You're cussed and stuffed, or there's a fine or something. So the law, it goes back to the Republicans in 94. It went right back to them. The first promise, there was 8 promises, 12 bills. Go look at the very first promise in the contract with America. We will pass a law that Congress, I don't know where they ever got the idea they were already above the law, but we will pass a law that Congress has to live by the same laws. And you know what? Everything that Trump got elected to repeal was what Newt Gingrich led us into in the 90s. Okay? And then Newt Gingrich was writing another book and going on all the news stories, news shows, and explaining how Trump is doing the right thing. And I'm sitting there, I've contacted him, and I talked to his in a letter and an email and in on the phone with his assistant, and I asked him, how can he stand up there and lie to the people as if there is no conscience? He seems so sincere in what he's doing, and even the Democrats are attacking him, so we know that it's just a game, because if they wanted to bust him, they could say, hey, it's your policy. You're a liar, but they won't.
Well,
so it's
Sally, you're going to tune off there soon, because if you are, I'm going to go ahead and do a show then right after yours. How's that? Because I didn't know what time you were going to get off. I didn't want to conflict with your show. So,
we can wrap it up at 9:30. Yep, we'll do that. So
okay,
you can,
all right.
I have one comment.
Yep,
I have one comment. Jason Whitlock was on Tucker. Okay, this is a while ago. It's about, I don't know, maybe a month ago, before Tucker was tossed off. I don't have television. I watched it the next day. I turned my television off because I can't take it anymore. Long time ago. Anyway, Jason Whitlock was on there, and he said, we have nothing in common anymore with these other states. We need to separate ourselves, and we need to have secession. Well, my God, they yelled in his ear. They shut the show down. Tucker came back all frazzled because you're not allowed to use that word, and that's where I believe we are. I have nothing in common with anybody in California or New Jersey, New York, or nothing. And what we should be trying to do here, which I thought maybe, because I saw a little ray of hope when DeSantis got in, that he was adhering to the 10th Amendment. But he's not. He's part of a cabal.
Yeah.
He's part of the problem. And so all the work that we did on the project, on the 10th Amendment project, I canned it. We're not going to get, even if we got that into his office, it wouldn't make a difference. I mentioned this to my representative. I said, you wasted this year with all this legislation. I said, we have a really serious problem with insurance. I said, why don't you build compacts with other states? Why don't you build a compact with Alabama? He didn't even know what I was talking about. And that was one of the things that I will say, Tea Party Patriots, you know, Chris Wright, which I still go on the call. I still have a call with him. He's a really good constitutional lawyer. We tried to build those health care compacts between the states, and nobody listened. It's time for secession. It's time for us to
build. Yeah, but
do
you know what you're doing? You know what you're doing? You're doing exactly what the psychologists in the Kremlin predicted would happen to America by 2010, that America would be split up. It would be split up.
Well, let me tell you, how do you want to fix it then? Can you have a better way? You're not going to fix it. We are not fixing it. It's over. You have nothing in common with California. And you know what, Sally? You were right. When that representative said, get your kids and leave the state of California. That's what's happening. We're going to see more of that. So we're beyond that now. We can't think about what happened when somebody said
we're not beyond it because, listen, here in Florida, you see a lot of, and I'm not talking about tourists, people are moving here, and the biggest two numbers are from California and New York. So you know what that means? We can call this place red, but when it comes time for election, you got a bunch of Democrats. And it might not think, you might yell election fraud when you see that this Republican didn't win and this Democrat did. Okay, see, that's another part to it. And so we can cuss New York and cuss California, but you know what? They're coming here. So we don't know how this thing's going to look.
Well, we're not going to stop that. They're already here. There's nothing you can do. What I'm talking about is if you want issues, there's no other – I don't know any other way. I really my life doing this. I'm kind of done with it. I'm going to do what I can, but that's about it.
Well, it's the ignorance, the dumbing down of Americans is the number one thing. If you expect a nation to be ignorant and free, you expect what never was and can never be. Americans as a whole are extremely ignorant people, and we're brainwashed every day by media and those types of things.
Mm-hmm.
And with that being said, we are going to wrap it up here. I want to go ahead and give Karen a final – Karen hasn't had a chance to say anything in the last few minutes here. Go ahead and add anything to the last couple of minutes here.
Okay.
This has been an excellent discussion. Go ahead, Karen.
It certainly has, and the room has to be open for lots of people, so I certainly love listening to other people's opinions and get a lot of ideas. And one of the things that we all know is you can't give up. Have to understand that it has taken them to get to this place for the last couple of years, at least 100+ years.
Hey, here.
It did not happen overnight, and we're not going to...
Yeah, having a little bit of a hard time hearing you, Karen.
Where this did not happen overnight, and we're not going to get the country back overnight. This is going to be a marathon. It's not a sprint, and we have to be ready for that. Most important upside, we need to be the educators because the kids who are after us haven't experienced what we have experienced. And when you say to many of them freedom and First Amendment, they have no idea what you're talking about. So for the most part, we have to go back to the beginning. And I do believe a separation might be a good thing to do. Cindy is right. We have absolutely nothing in common with California. And how do I know that? Because my relatives live there and we don't talk because we can't.
Let's just use the Constitution while we do that process.
Yeah, that's absolutely.
Well, it's
going
to be called the free United States and then the socialist United States, really communist United States. There is some kind of split, and Tom Pastore has been saying that for years as well. There's plenty of people saying we're not the union is far too fractured to be clear. But I'm going to keep trying.
Borrow a line from Spartacus. What did he say? Kill them all? We're almost to that spot only because, and I don't mean kill them all. You got to kill their ideology. There is nothing there that is usable for sane people. And hopefully we're sane. Our problem is we don't work and play well with others. And we have to come together and join each other to be Americans and work it out that way. There isn't any other way. Get your kids out of public school. And my radio show will be on this evening, Saturday and Sunday, 7 in the morning and 9 in the evening. And that is Eastern Time on America Out Loud Talk Radio Network, the prism of America's education. And we have a very interesting guest, and a lot of the things we're talking about is education because that's what got us here. And we're not going to fix anything if we don't fix that. So thank you, Sally. This has been a wonderful show, as always. Such interesting conversation. Very important.
Yes. Yes, it has. And thank you so much, everyone. Joe said he's going to get his show going. If you want to give him the phone number real quick, Joe, if you're still there, you may have already dropped off.
657-383-0616. I'm on now, actually. Good night, everybody.
Okay. Okay.
Good night. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. Okay, anyway, yes, good conversation. We've got to keep the discussion going. Got to keep saying a prayer for America. I love my country. It's my government I'm afraid of. And I'm gonna fight till the end. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to. I see the challenges ahead of us, and I think we have I'm just not sure what the solution is, except we got to say a prayer for America and get back to God and faith. What we have done to our society, to our culture, to our children, why would God bless America the way it is right now? So we got to change it. We got to change our attitude that way. And with that being said, thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Excellent discussion. And we will talk again next week. God bless America. Good night, everyone.